I mean, the recordings have now started.
Thank you. This is Greg Aaron, and this is the Registration Abuse Policy Working Group meeting for January 25th, 2010. Gizula, would you be so kind as to do the roll call?
Absolutely. Good morning, good afternoon to everyone. On today's call, we have Greg Aaron, Mike O'Connor, Rob Hutchinson, Fred Feldman, Barry Cobb, James Bladel, Rodra Smussen, Faisal Shah. From staff, we have Glenda Sangeri, Marika Koning, Marty Milam, and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. And we have apologies from Martin Sutton. And also, please remind everyone to state their names when speaking. Thank you. Over to you, Greg.
Thank you. Well, we are in the home stretch, everybody. And I see Bob Hutchinson is joining us. What we're going to do today is spend most of our time reviewing the recommendation survey. First, a quick note. As you may have seen, the ICANN board decided on Friday to proceed with the Nairobi meeting as previously planned. So that will be happening, and we still do need to shoot for our majority health publication. Okay. Just a quick update. This week is our drop-dead deadline for final edits to the background sections. So we have to work those out. What I thought we would do today is go through the survey results as quickly as possible. The purpose of the survey was to do two things. First, figure out it's a temperature check of the group to see kind of where we are on these recommendations. It's also an opportunity for people to provide feedback on edits to those. So where we see suggestions for edits is especially, I think, where we need to spend time this week on the call and on the list. One of the things we should talk about today are the cyber squatting recommendations and some proposed background text there also. So we'll work into the document. We'll definitely reserve some time for that material. Does anyone have any questions before we begin? Okay. Hearing none, why don't we dive right in? The first thing was the abuse definition, and we promised ourselves that we would revisit this before the paper was published just to see if we needed any adjustments. In general, we have agreement. James has made a suggestion for an edit. So, James, would you like to comment on that?
Yes, just a moment while I scroll down. I just was recommending that we be a little more specific in spelling out what constitutes a material predicate of harm. I don't necessarily have any suggestions at this point, but I just feel like if that's going to be a component of this definition, that we should be a little more clear, particularly for myself or anyone who maybe doesn't immediately recognize this as perhaps a legal term.
Okay. I have a suggestion about how we could do that. With our definition, we also have two notes, which are bullet points right now. And one says, this generally isn't meant to interfere with competition, and then there's a bullet that says basically abuse, when it's considered, it should be considered in the context of who is being harmed and to what extent, something to that effect. Would it be useful to add a bullet to explain what the predicate is? And then I would suggest we, in the report, italicize all that material to kind of link it into the definition and make people realize that it's all part of the definition, perhaps. What do you think of that, James?
Yeah, I agree with that. I just would like to see a little bit more meat around this, these two words, and kind of what, you know, if is there a test for something as a material predicate? Are there criteria that you know, that determine something is or isn't a material predicate?
Okay. I guess we'll have to go back to our discussions months back about exactly how we define the predicate and figure out if we have any text we can use.
Is this language present? Sorry, this is James speaking again. Is this language included in any other policies, or did we borrow that from the ACPA, or there's something that, you know, if we can go back to where it originally came from? Is there something that is there any help there?
I forget exactly where it came from, James, but Faisal has his hand raised.
Yeah, I think the way I remember it, it was something that was almost going to enable, was going to be an enabler of such harm, right? So I think to your point, James, I think to some extent it there may be some vagueness. There's also a lot of vagueness around the entire definition itself. If you really think about it, what is substantial harm?
Right.
So, you know, I'm not sure there's. I think what we were meant to do, what we were trying to do, was capture certain things, certain behaviors that were kind of indirect ways of causing harm. But I think it might to some extent bring in other issues. But I'm not sure that we could sit there and try to classify every potential predicate that could potentially, be part of this definition without really making this too cumbersome to even be a definition.
No, understood. And thanks, Faisal. Just my concern is that there could be something out there, for example, a getaway car might be a material predicate for bank robbing, I just want to make sure that we're sufficiently narrow that we're not throwing too much stuff in with under material predicate.
Okay. Not outlawing cars. Okay.
Right.
Mikey?
Yeah, Greg, this is Mikey. I think that there was a pretty substantive discussion in the email list about this. I think if I haven't got the ability to do it right now, but I think if we search the archive for material predicate, we're going to find a gaggle of emails that hammered this one out, and that might be a place to go look for some more words. I think what happened was exactly what we just described. I think the first try was quite long. We then had lots and lots of clauses that we then tried to thin out. And so I think material predicate is really our construction. I don't think it's used anywhere else in policy, and I think there's a pretty good discussion of it in the list. So I'm pretty comfortable with either way. I remember the discussion as being pretty focused and pretty positive, and that we were really trying to narrow things when we said this, but it might be a good idea to pull some of those words out of the email archive and spruce
okay.
it up a little bit.
This is Greg. What I'll suggest then is James and anyone else who's interested, do a search. We'll go back to the history. If you want to propose a bullet, for example, on what that means, please send it up to the list, and maybe we can add that in. But otherwise, I mean, it looks like we're all very, very close on this. So why don't we take that as an action item, if that's okay.
Yep, that's fine.
Okay. All right. I've got you down for that one, James. Thank you. Okay, good. Let's move on to cyber squatting. And we have a couple of recommendations. The first one was initiate a – I forget how we – Marika has advised us on how to do this, and Margie, is it an issues report or a PDP?
I think it follows here that this is Marika, the right line is requesting an issues report.
Okay. So is it standard to just say request an issues report, or should we initiate a PDP or recommend the initiation of a PDP?
Initiating a PDP is normally the next phase after the issues report. I mean, there's some confusion because in the bylaws it talks, I think, at both times about either commencing or initiating a PDP, but I think it's probably clearer if you start with requesting an issues report, and on the basis of the issues report, the council makes then a determination whether a PDP should be initiated or not. So the first step is always the issues report in the current setup of the policy development process. So by requesting an issues report, you indirectly, you know, also suggest, you know, starting a PDP, but I think it makes it clearer to separate the two.
Okay. So it would be standard form to say request an issues report. Okay. But anyway, the idea here in this recommendation is the effort, it would be to investigate the current state of the UDRP. The effort would consider how the UDRP has addressed the problem of cyber squatting to date, where the UDRP may be insufficient to curb cyber squatting, whether the definition of cyber squatting inherent within the existing UDRP language needs to be reviewed or updated. Okay, so there were five who agreed, and then two suggestions for friendly amendments. One was from me, one was from James. Mine was mainly just to the language, saying any insufficiencies or inequalities. That was partially to capture some of the things that are in the background section, which mentions some inequalities like inability to do an appeal or trying cases over and over again, et cetera. So that was what I was going for. James's recommendation, he says that if we call for a PDP, which I guess we wouldn't be doing, that's up to the council, but such would presume a modification or addition to the language. And you thought, James, you wanted to review the UDRP effectiveness and how it can be modified. Okay. Mikey?
This is Mikey. I think one way to address this second one, the James suggestion, would be to reword the first line to say the RAPWG recommends the instead of saying initiation of a PDP, recommends that the council request an issues report. So drop the PDP language in the first sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Does that take care of that one, James? Caught him on mute.
James, the idea would be we would be recommending the creation of an issues report.
I'm sorry, I had a really great and long response there, engaging just myself on mute. So thanks for that. So this is James speaking, and I guess my issue with this particular recommendation and it was just with the way it was written, it was calling for a PDP or issues report to investigate, and I would just say that, an issues report is to investigate, a PDP is really probably not an investigation tool. It is to change a policy or to create new policy. So I think we just need to break that up a little bit so that if we're going to call for a change in the policy through a PDP, we state what that, we state that explicitly, or if we're just looking to investigate, then we do what you're saying, Craig, and just call for an issues report.
Yeah, this is Mikey. That's what I'd suggest too, is just call for an issues report at this point.
Okay. And then I just made a small edit to a couple of words. So I'm wondering, see. Let me try to. I'm going to put some text up on the screen. Which gets rid of the PDPs bit and then uses the small edit I made. Could I have a straw poll on this? If it works for you, can you use your check mark?
I'd lobby for active voice, but other than that, I'm fine.
Okay, we have checks from Mikey, James, Barry, and myself. No's from Faisal and Fred. And we've got a check from Bob. Rod, you're on the line, but I guess you can't see this. You're not logged in yet.
Yeah, and I will not be logged in either, Greg. I'm in the middle of working out the door with my kids, so. I'm abstaining from whatever you're talking about right now. Sorry.
Okay. Tell you what. Let's hear from Faisal and Fred about their comments.
Faisal, do you want to begin?
Sure. I guess I was thinking that in terms of, we know at this point that the EDRP has certain issues. It's not, as I perceive it, to be a completely effective tool and remedy for cyber squatting. So what I would like to see is, instead of investigating whether or not it is ineffective, we've already got history behind it. I'd like to go right to the policy development around how we actually change the UDRP to be able to be a much more effective tool for cyber squatting. So I guess that's I'm ahead of the investigation and not purely wanting it to be an investigative to get to the investigative stage, and maybe we should be where we are actually developing policy, because I think some of what's happened so far, even in terms of the fast track for the UDRP, is much more procedural than it is actual policy language within the UDRP itself. So I guess that's where I'm at.
Okay. Fred, do you have anything to add?
I'd say, very similar lines. There's been a lot of investigation. We've had an IRT. We've had an STI group. We've had a lot of folks who have published a lot of information about UDRP and its how it's been effective and not been effective, both WIPO and the Czech Arbitration Court. And I actually agree with Faisal that it's now time for us to actually think about taking action on some of the hard work that's been actualized by folks.
Okay, thank you. Barry?
Yes, this is Barry. Thank you, Greg. I would just like to say, looking at the original recommendation one, and I'm not sure who wrote it, but it already has the word investigation in there. I guess I would agree with Faisal and Frederick that, we should move beyond the investigation. But I think regardless, every recommendation that we put forth here are all going to say that we just need to the creation of the issues report and no longer use the PDP, because the issues report should lead to the PDP. That's the next step, correct?
Yes, assuming the council decides it wants to go there.
Right.
Right. Either way, they have to decide whether they want to do PDP or not on anything. I'll tell you what, Barry, why don't you finish up and then we'll go to James.
I was just going to say, so I guess, Faisal, I think you're getting what you want in terms of getting the momentum forward for UDRP to eventually get to a PDP. We have to get to the issues report first, but I would agree with you that maybe we should strike the word investigate, and, you know, we do need to go to a PDP for that, so I would agree. Thank you.
James?
Hi, thanks. That's Greg. Yeah, that's Greg. This is James speaking. I agree with most of what Barry was just saying. Is I think that this is an issue of semantics. We've already determined that this group doesn't necessarily call for PDPs. It calls for issues reports and calls for the council to initiate a PDP. So that's in essence what we're saying. We could probably make that a little bit more direct by removing the word investigate. And just to point out again that really gets to my bullet point, Greg, was the idea that if we're going to go for a PDP, we should say we were going for a PDP or call for that specifically from the council. If we're going to investigate, then we should call for investigation. I just felt that this, that this was a little ambiguous in what it was asking for. So, I think that we're closer to Faisal and Frederick's desires, but I think that we're dressing it up in some different language. Just what I feel about this.
Okay. Yeah, and I think what the staff is saying is the procedure in the council is first you have to get an issues report. Council has to read it, and then they decide the next step, which could be a PDP or drop it or something else.
And this is Marika. I mean, if people feel more comfortable by initiating a PDP, I don't think it's a problem, because it would in practice mean the same thing. Initiating a PDP is requesting an issues report and then a vote of the council on deciding whether to initiate or continue the PDP or not. So if people feel that it's clearer and, you know, less ambiguous to just say we'll recommend initiating a PDP, I mean, and we can maybe then explain in a separate section in the report that initiating a PDP requires two stages, basically first requesting an issues report, and after that the council makes an assessment on whether to go ahead or not with the PDP. You know, that's another solution. So, you know, I don't want people to feel that we're trying, that this is less strong because we're not saying initiating a PDP, what we're talking about requesting the issues report, because it means in principle the same thing. So, it's as people prefer. We can, as I said, we can just explain it somewhere else if that makes more sense.
Okay. Thank you. I see Mikey's hand raised.
This is Mikey. I'd just like to follow up on Marika's point. I like saying PDP better than issues report. It just feels like a more positive statement. So if we could adopt that language as our preferred language throughout, I personally like that better.
Okay. All right.
Hey, Greg.
Yes,
James.
Right,
James. Real quickly, I think Mikey has a good point there. One thought would be, can we just eliminate the ICANN jargon entirely and or at least take some steps towards plain English and just say, you know, the UDRP policy needs to be revised? I think that, you know, when we may be hurting ourselves by using things like issues report and PDP, and the reader or the recipient of this recommendation may be injecting their own meaning into that, where we could be a little more clearly and just speak in plain English.
I'd go for that. This is Mikey.
So what would you recommend it say, James?
Reading this would be, let's see, the RIP working group recommends, that the current state of the UDRP be examined and revised. I'm struggling with how to come up with that just here on the fly, but I think removing PDP and removing issues report and just stating what we want to happen, and then letting the choice of mechanism jargon and acronym kind of be taken up elsewhere.
I really like this. This is Mikey. I think
DRIP recommends an investigation of the current state of the UDRP.
An investigation and revision.
I mean,
to put an umbrella around what Faisal and Frederick are saying, you know, we have to be explicit in what we want to happen.
I'm going to raise my own hand. This is Greg. I'm not comfortable with saying we demand that it be revised, because I think the fact-finding is really important. And some of these previous efforts that have taken place in regards to the new TLDs, like IRT, actually have not addressed entire swaths of what we need to know, I think, to make revisions. And also some of the things we've pointed out need to be documented. I'm not personally comfortable saying we should revise it. I want to let somebody else decide that. We're bringing the issue up, I think, and getting it into process. But the requesting revisions, I don't think we're there yet. That's not our job.
Okay. Yeah, this is Mikey. I agree with that. So what if we said the UDRP needs review?
Okay. Let's see. I don't know in which order people's hands were raised. I see Marika.
I think Marika's first.
Faisal. After that.
I think Marika's first.
So this is Marika. I just wanted to highlight as well, I think it's important indeed to explain, you know, what it is that the group wants, but at the same time, these are recommendations for the GNSO Council. So, you know, if you can be specific about what it is that you're looking for, so if you want a PDP, I would say it as well. You can still explain, you know, for others that are reviewing the report, what it actually means, that you want the UDRP reviewed and possibly revised. But at the same time, I know, you know, the ICANN lingo might not be helpful for outsiders, but as these are specific recommendations that the GNSO Council will review and consider, and I think it will be important as well that there's not, you know, you don't leave room for interpretation if it's clear what the group would like to see happening.
Okay.
Yeah, this is Faisal. I think actually I was going to say very much the same thing. I think I don't have a problem with the initiation of a PDP, and I do like the idea of putting in revise, but maybe we can put in to evaluate and revise the UDRP. But I would like it to be, I think it should be stronger in terms of what we're looking for, and I don't, I think the council can take a look at what we're saying and decisions there.
This is Mikey. What if we said evaluate and perhaps revise? I think that's the way Marika said it. That way we're not demanding that it be revised. We're saying take the first step.
You could say if appropriate, revise.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to put another version up on screen. And it reads as follows. The RAP recommends the initiation of a policy development process by requesting an issues report to investigate the current state of the UDRP and consider revisions if appropriate. The effort should consider how the UDRP has addressed the problem of cyber squatting to date and any insufficiencies / inequalities associated with the process and whether the definition of cyber squatting inherent within the existing UDRP language needs to be reviewed or updated. Period. So does that capture what's been discussed? And I'll tell you what, let's do a little straw poll here. check if you like, disagree as an X. And if you have an old hand raised, please bring that down. I've got checks from Mikey, James, Bob, Barry, and Greg. A no from Fred, and a hand from Faisal. Faisal, why don't you go ahead?
Yeah, you know what? That's my old hand. Oops. But let me just say one thing. Can't we? I guess we still got the investigative piece, but
well, that is what an issues report is for, isn't it? Is it not? To look into the issue, see what the issues are.
Yeah, I guess I recognize what it's supposed to do. I guess the question is what we can actually recommend, right? So the question would be, can we basically say to them, can we be stronger here, recognizing that they are going to take the issues report and be much more investigative about it. I just want the recommendation to be strong. I guess that's the only thing I would say. I don't know what Fred's
Fred, why don't you go ahead?
Yeah, I guess, you know, there's a lot of investigation going on all over ICANN on these issues, and I'd like for us to cite the other work that's gone on with this to actually, one, indicate where we'd like them to start, because with respect to cyber squatting, there's been a lot of discussion in the STI and the RRT and other groups, and I think we should cite their work as a good start and a good beginning point for the discussion of either an issues report or PDEP, whatever is most appropriate in Marika's mind to go forward.
James?
Hi, thanks. And to Frederick's point, I think I mentioned this also in one of my comments later on in the survey. If I'm understanding correctly, the IRT and STI was, if not exclusively, at least mostly focused on rights protection in the new GTLD space. And I think that my concern is that if we start to cross-pollinate between the new GTLD space and the incumbent GTLD space, that it's going to slow everything down. It's going to, put a halt to the new GTLD program, and it's going to freeze the existing, cyber squatting / UVRP work, you know, in place. It's just a paralyzable effort. So I didn't want to necessarily reference them explicitly. We could say something like other work going on in the community or a body of knowledge that's been accumulated in other, in other programs or something like that. But I think if we call them out specifically, we run the risk of throwing sand in the gears of both processes.
I guess I have to answer back to that is that, your statement politicizes the discussion that we're having, which is on the issue of abuse, and actually discusses other actions going on within the ICANN community. And with respect to that, I don't think that actually it's relevant whether it slows down or speeds up any other process in ICANN. What we're trying to address here at the Registration Abuse Protection Working Group is registration abuse. And if other work actually furthers our cause to actually fix the issue, we should take advantage of that, irrespective of what other processes exist. And I disagree with that point rather strongly.
Okay.
Well, but Frederick, okay, if I could just jump in
just
quickly with a response. And maybe you can help me understand this better. Was the IRT... And the STI tasked to look at making recommendations for the existing GTLD space, or were they completely focused on new GTLDs?
They used the experience in the existing namespace to actually make recommendations for what should be changed in the new namespace based on the lessons that we've learned.
Okay. So are we confident that folks who were involved in that process, everyone was aware that those could be, those were also serving or building a foundation of knowledge to make changes in the incumbent utility space?
It was stated explicitly at the meeting in New York.
Well, I don't know if that was a staff statement or not, because I was there. This is Greg.
Actually, it wasn't stated by staff. It was debated by Phil Corwin and the IRT directly in that meeting.
Well, the IRT was an interesting thing because it was a group that was put together rather in an interesting fashion, not according to some usual bottoms-up and community participation processes. I think
by
it's
the way,
fair
it was,
to...
By the
I
way,
think
it was Phil Corwin who brought up that subject at the New York meeting.
Well, Phil is one person amongst many. That's all I'm saying, Fred. I think it's fair to say that everything that's gone on about rights protection mechanisms in the new TLDs, there are no foregone conclusions, and there's not a lot of agreement about a lot of the points. We do have a lot of public statements now by various constituencies. My question to you guys is as follows. Can we reach consensus on any language here, or will we have a majority and a minority statement? We have to get to a conclusion about this, and you're bringing in a lot of history from a lot of different places. We have to figure this out soon, or we'll have maybe two different statements, and we'll have to attach people's names to them.
Let's go with evaluate if appropriate and revise the UDRP. That's fine. I think it's weaker than we can be, but I'd agree to that.
Okay.
Greg, I think the way we would change this, it would say let me just see. Issues report to evaluate. And if appropriate, revise the UDRP. But I would actually take out investigate the current state of. That almost is kind of, it seems a little weak.
This is Greg. I'd suggest that it's a necessary part of any process to examine the UDRP.
Right. So
you have to figure out what it's been doing, how it's been used. And that,
I get it. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying evaluate and, if appropriate, revise the UDRP. So I think I'm actually saying what you're saying. I'm just saying it differently, I guess. So that's my amendment.
So you want to change consider revisions, if appropriate, to what again?
What I wanted to say was an issues report to evaluate, comma, and, if appropriate, comma, revise the UDRP. I think it says the same thing. I just think it's a little stronger.
This is Mikey. I don't think an issues report can revise the UDRP. Just to pick a name.
Take out the issues report, right? We can put the, we just say initiation of a PDP.
All right. Well, ultimately the council is going to decide what they want to do. They're going to get an issues report. We have a background section that says there are many issues that have been raised with the UDRP over the years. Cyber squatting is the main emphasis. It's going to get covered in the issues report. That's the main reason we're doing this. I mean, is the text on the screen something we can coalesce around? And by that I mean the chat box. The last version that we posted. Okay. I'm not hearing any responses.
I'm just trying to look at it on a screen that's a little larger. I can't see the whole sentence, so I apologize for that. So I'm just bringing it into a word processor to see if it makes sense. I apologize for the delay, but...
Greg, this is James. I agreed previously, and I'm away from the keyboard, but I agree to this as well.
Okay.
Greg, could you reread that if it's not too long, please?
Yeah, it reads as follows. The RAPWG recommends the initiation of a policy development process by requesting an issues report to investigate the current state of the UDRP and consider revisions if appropriate. This effort should consider how the UDRP has addressed the problem of cyber squatting to date and any insufficiencies / inequalities associated with the process, whether the definition of cyber squatting inherent within the existing UDRP language needs to be reviewed or updated.
This is Rob speaking. Since I don't have a hand, I will raise it, and I will agree with that statement.
All right. Any other notes? Okay. Hearing none. What I'd like to do is let's put this into the next version. And we will have another round of polling. That will be the consensus-taking round with formal measurement. You will have an opportunity to suggest a minority view at that time if this language is not to your liking. But I would suggest we move to the next question. The next question is the cyber squatting recommendation 2. And it says the RAPWG further recommends the initiation of a PDP by requesting an issues report to investigate the appropriateness and effectiveness of how any rights protection mechanisms that are developed elsewhere in the community, e.g. the new GTLD program, can be applied to the problem of cyber squatting in the current GTLD space. We had 3 people agree with it. We had 2 make proposals for friendly amendments, and we had 2 people disagree. One friendly comment was Mikey's. He agreed with my idea that we recommend this after the other RPMs have had a chance to get baked and have actually been run. Rod said, not an amendment, rather a placeholder for the discussion currently ongoing in the group where we don't have consensus here yet. Alternate views were that were mine, which basically said the UDRP, let's look at the UDRP. These RPMs in the new TLD process are improved with some concerns about them, so let that run its course. And James said, do not agree with the recommendation. Linking it to the new TLD process can introduce delays. In both, let the RPM work proceed in the new TLDs and then examine if they are appropriate for inclusion in incumbent TLDs. Okay. So I saw, it seems like there are 2 threads. Some folks agree with it. They want RPMs to be looked at. Specifically, those RPMs are, let's talk about what they are, actually, because they're fairly well known. One is a universal rapid suspension program, and the other is a clearinghouse. The idea of the clearinghouse is to the proposal was to filter new creations of domain names against a list of trademarks. Although the list of trademarks might be limited in some fashion. There are various ongoing proposals about how that would be done or what that list would be comprised of. So, we seem to have some people who want this, some people who would like the existing TLD process to continue on its own path. Is that a fair breakdown to the basics? Don't talk all at once. James?
Yeah, Greg, I think that's a fair synopsis of the two schools of thought here. And just, you know, my position, I think, stated there is that, and we talked earlier, is that, you know, we're trying to synchronize two moving targets here. And, you know, I just want to see something a little more baked come out of the rights protection mechanism before we determine that it's appropriate to include in existing.
Thank you. I have a question. Did the RPMs for the new TLDs come up in the cyber squatting sub-team meetings?
It's James speaking. I think, you know, testing my memory a little bit of all the different iterations of the cyber squatting sub-teams, and I think that they did, but maybe not extensively. I think that we just kind of touched on them and moved on to some other areas. I'm not really sure. Don't really remember all the different instances of that work.
Okay. Any other comments? Are there any areas in which a greater level of consensus could be reached on this recommendation? Any thoughts on that?
This is Mikey, without raising his hand, sorry. It seems like, at least in the poll, the friendly amendments and the alternate view are pretty similar. If we were to work the suggestion that we allow the RPMs to run their own course for a while into this, where would we wind up in terms of consensus? Would that get us to a larger proportion?
Well, I guess the current state of the discussion is, I guess in the new TLD discussion, it's an ongoing discussion. There's an open comment period right now where I think constituencies are going to be weighing in on what they think of the STI recommendations. Then you have to have the new TLD round. You reach some place where there's some decision on those RPMs. If they're going to be used, then you launch the new TLD round. So basically a couple of years from now.
So I guess the fundamental discussion is when to launch this, now or wait. Is that basically what we're up against here? It seems like most of the folks in the amendments proposing to wait. So if we put weight into this recommendation, what kind of consensus would we have at that point?
So what would the, in your mind, the recommendation be? Would there be a recommendation at all?
Well, it still seems like a good idea, you know. once the new RPM's been running for a while and they've solidified and had some experience with them, it does seem like a good idea to then pick up the question as to whether they could be applied to the GTLDs, but I'd hate to do it before any experience. It seems like that's getting the cart before the horse. So I could see a recommendation that pretty much says this, but also says let's wait for them to have been finalized and actually implemented before we try to extract lessons learned, because there won't be any lessons to learn until they've actually been used for a while. I may be missing something. It's just sort of my naive point of view here.
Okay. Thank you. Why don't we go to Fred?
Hey, thanks. I guess, when I look at the STI and the IRT findings, they're based on what's happening in the existing namespace. And there's been an incredible amount of analysis by WIPO and others on the effectiveness of the UDRP and where it can be improved. And I think by waiting, I don't think it really makes a lot of sense. I think you have an opportunity to actually affect something in an operating namespace in which you already have experience with and lots of data and lots of experience, even more so than perhaps you do in what's hypothesized to be a new namespace, the GTLDs. So in effect, I think this actually has better an opportunity to actually stop harming consumers and internet users by examining this now and actually looking at how we can fix the existing namespace now. I don't understand why we would wait for data and effectiveness in a smaller, less used namespace when we already have an existing problem that we can work on now. I don't understand that logic.
This is Greg. I'll give you an example. One of the rights protection mechanisms that's proposed is a clearinghouse of trademarks. So it's a database that sits somewhere and it has...
No, I get that. I think for the...
Well, no, let me finish explaining. It sits somewhere, and one of the proposals is to require each registry operator to go consult that database before they allow a registration to go through. One of the potential implications of that is that you basically stop real-time registrations in the TLDs involved. So one of the implications could be that real-time registration is no longer allowed in the existing GTLDs. That's a significant change in the industry and changes how people register domain names in a fundamental fashion. That hasn't been explored at all, and we have no experience with it.
Except for the fact that the STI recommended that it's only in sunrise periods, so it's actually not effective for this. The URS is the only one that applies in the existing namespaces, as I understand it.
Well, there's actually proposals from the BC, for example, that it be applied across the board. So it's a very unsettled question, I think. I see Margie's hand and then Mikey.
Sure, a couple things. I was the staff person on the IRT and the STI reports. And if it's helpful to the group, I can certainly circulate the portions of the report that relates to the UDRP. Fred is correct in the sense that they did address the problems in the existing space. On the issue of whether to initiate a PDP now or delay it, just a couple points. The GNSO Council right now is considering whether to adopt a PDP on vertical separation. They're going to vote on Thursday, and one of the proposals from the registrars, and this was a staff recommendation as well, was to initiate a PDP but have it be delayed. We recommended 1 to 2 years, and I think the registrars recommended 1 year. So that is, I just wanted to raise the point that that's certainly a possibility. The other piece of information that might be relevant to this discussion is that there's been recent proposal is made by WIPO to, for example, to do e-filing and other aspects of the UDRP. So there's already some indications that there are parts of the UDRP that could be improved or procedures that could be improved. So there's certainly, while there's no PDP, you know, obviously going on right now with respect to those issues, a PDP could look at those topics if one was to be initiated.
Okay. And as far as the UDRP stuff, that might be covered under our first recommendation, I guess. Let's go to Mikey, and then James, and then Barry. And thank you, Margie.
This is Mikey. Thanks, Greg. A couple things. I'm a member of the BC, but I'm not speaking for the BC on this working group. I needed to make that clear. I don't get the sequencing. It seems like either you do it one way or the other. You either let the new rights protection mechanisms get baked and run them for a while and learn lessons from them and then come back to the existing TLDs, or you draw the rights protection mechanism discussion scope to be larger and to include current GTLDs and get it resolved now for all GTLDs. But this hybrid approach, I just don't get. You know, again, I don't have strong feelings one way or the other, but I don't quite feel comfortable with the idea of the kind of hybrid approach of taking RPMs that have been developed for one space without having them tested and decide whether they're going to get applied to the other. That doesn't strike me as working.
Hey, can I jump in really quickly? This is a side note. Can we drop that notes pane down with the proposed agenda so that I can see, you know, pretty much, you know, who, you know, in terms of addressing the group and sending messages and everything? There you go. Great, thanks. Sorry about that, Mikey.
Okay. Next in line is James.
Yeah, I just actually, I think Mikey provided a really good synopsis of what I was going to say, even the lead-in. And just, you know, if I can be even so disruptive as to say that maybe this and the previous recommendation are, you know, clear examples or situations where we need to have alternative recommendations. Because I think that when we start to, you know, we've made really good strides towards consensus, but I think it's watering down the impact of either approach. So, you know, if it's not, you know, when we start to cobble together these hybrid recommendations, like Mikey was saying, I think we lose a lot of the impact of the work that's been done to date. Maybe we should consider. Maybe we should just consider that.
So James, what would you see as the path forward?
Well, I think the path forward would be to put together, you know, alternative one, alternative two, that captures the you know, the essence of the different sides or schools of thought on these last two recommendations. I think that we're probably not doing justice to either position when we try to try to blend them together in a way that, you know, isn't you know, isn't elegant or is a little clumsy. And what I mean is that this is a controversy or this is a contentious subject in the community as a whole, and I think that these recommendations are just reflective of something bigger that's going on within ICANN right now. And so, you know, it's burdening our recommendations with some things that I think are pretty well understood outside of this working group. We could put together two recommendations and really make sure that they're concise and explicit in exactly what we're looking for, and then put those into the report. I think is a way of maintaining or preserving the you know, the essence of each one.
Okay. Barry?
Yes, this is Barry. I just really have a question more than a comment relative to this recommendation. And you'll have to forgive my ignorance on this, but I would definitely support that any RPMs that are created, that there should be a PDP to help create them. And I guess my question is how can these RPMs be created, whether, you know, even if it is in the new gTLD space, without some sort of PDP to establish what that actual structure would look like in the new space? I guess, you know, we're getting ready to go deploy all these new gTLDs, so we're creating a new registry agreement. We're talking about vertical integration. We're talking about RPMs that include a clearinghouse and URS, and much of which I do support. But, again, in the new gTLD space, how is there policy built around the new space without a PDP to make it to begin with?
Margie, would you like to tackle that question?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
I guess this kind of goes, Margie, this goes down the line of questioning relative to the vertical integration at the last GNSO call, where, you know, there's this notion of putting forward that we should allow vertical integration, and it's like, well, where is the authority by which this can get implemented without a PDP? So my question here is how can we move forward in the new gTLD space with new RPMs, and how those, even if they got approved by the STI, et cetera, how do those facilities get built and established and the policies around them that govern them without a PDP to build them in the first place? Because ultimately this recommendation here is saying we need a PDP to talk about URS and the trademark clearinghouse, and I would support that. But my question is how would these two facilities even be created without a PDP to begin with?
Okay, and then I guess if we kind of go into this a little bit in the issues report, it's a question of whether it's an implementation decision that relates to the new gTLDs or a global policy that you want to apply to all top-level domains. And so there's the PDP is designed to be something where you can adopt a policy that would address all gTLDs across the board, and obviously we go through the procedure that's in the bylaws for that. But that doesn't mean that decisions can't be made along the way for implementation on the new gTLD process, because that's something that's needed in order to fulfill the obligations that we have to adopt the policy that the board approved. So that's, it's the difference between whether you want it to be a one-time rule versus something that's permanent and, has unchangeable and applies across the board.
And Barry, this is Greg. If I may, I think kind of the situation is in the new TLDs, you have new contracts, and with the existing TLDs, you have existing procedures and existing contracts. And what's happening is in the new TLDs, they aren't bound to those old procedures and and they don't have contracts. So what ICANN is doing is they're creating some new procedures and contracts, and they're using the opportunity to look at some different things than exist right now. So you do have two different tracks because you do have legacy issues in the old ones. Now, whether they're implementation issues or not is a topic that's been discussed quite a bit. There are some people who believe that you certainly do need some bottoms-up process when these kinds of things are being done. That's been a very interesting debate, and I won't try to summarize it beyond that. So anyway, does that answer your question, perhaps?
Yes, unfortunately. I guess it just you know, from a person that strongly believes in consistency and predictability, we're creating an environment by which everything is inconsistent, so that basically, you know, it's already bad enough today that every TLD operates separately out there. Now when we go to add new gTLDs as well, it's going to be even more inconsistent, and it's just, it's kind of a shame, because we should be building on a solid foundation that, that makes it consistent and easier to manage globally. Thank you.
Okay. I see Faisal's hand raised.
Yeah, you know, I agree with that. I think also, you know, just even looking at this recommendation, I just think it seems relatively benign to me. I mean, we're really just looking, I mean, in this particular recommendation, you're looking to see whether or not, investigating whether the RPMs are even appropriate or effective to be applied to the new gTLDs, and they still have to be developed elsewhere in the community. So it appears to be relatively benign, in the sense that all we're trying to group is recommending is that a PDP as to whether or not it's appropriate or effective. And you know, to your point, Greg, you know, in terms of the contracts, I think it would be something that would come up in terms of in that discussion as well, in that investigation, as to whether or not it can be implemented and how it can be implemented. I just think that you can start the process now, and we just don't know where this will end up and how long it will take, I guess.
Okay. So if I can summarize the current state of discussions, some people want to investigate the proposed new gTLD rights protection mechanisms and for potential application to new TLDs. Other people are wary of that and would prefer to see them implemented and get some experience in them. Is there any willingness? Let me ask it this way. Is there willingness to try to come to consensus around letting the existing RPM discussion play out in the new TLDs first? Or do the people who voted in favor of the recommendation really feel they strongly about voting for the recommendation as it currently exists? I'm trying to find a place. Is there a place where we can develop more consensus? Okay, I'm not hearing any.
One alternative could be you could. I mean, I think this might be to James's recommendation, I guess, was to come up with an alternative view, put it out there, and then we can vote on it in a survey, right?
Well, are we going to edit? Well, let's see. Are we going to edit this one, or do we have two alternatives? Mikey?
This is Mikey. I think that the folks who disagreed, Greg, James, me with a minor edit, and Rod. Well, Rod is just holding the conversation open because of the conversation on the list. But if you took the three of us and added us to the consensus view and edited the recommendation to wait until the rights protection mechanisms have had a chance to get big and run for a while, I think you'd increase the amount of consensus. You wouldn't get total consensus. You'd probably wind up with a more crystallized minority view. But again, it may be that that's a value for me as the last mention.
Okay. Well, we have this recommendation. We can have an alternate view drafted and inserted. By the way, we're at 10 after the hour. I would suggest maybe the creation of an alternate view or revised language, but I think we should also move on. I wish Martin was here. Martin had proposed some language to be inserted into the background section. It seemed to gather some immediate comment on the list. By the way, I hear a lot of background noise. Can you put yourself on hold or on mute if you're not speaking? Thank you. Martin's text advocated a position on behalf of the group, and it didn't sound like it was a universally supported idea. We have a couple of ways we can deal with that. I think the easiest would be to say that some members were of that opinion and others disagreed. Another approach would be to try to iron out that language that goes into the background section. But based on our conversations this morning, it does seem like that might be a little tricky. Are there any thoughts on this? Okay. My proposal then is to insert Martin's text in the background section, but qualified by saying it is the opinion of some members. And then anyone who wants to provide an alternate view can also insert that at that point, too, and say it's the opinion of other members. Okay. All right. Let's move on to the next recommendation, which is front running. And we have many recommendations. A general comment I made in the notes was that these need to be phrased as a clear recommendation, whatever we come up with. The language is not fully baked yet, and we will need to come up with language that's fully baked. I think we tried to capture the ideas here, but we have got to do a better job on the language itself. So the recommendation one was better education of all parties. Suggestions for amendments were that we've got to make this clear and that it be a recommendation for an advisory. Mikey said I'd back this one off a bit. Incorporate our usual launch a PDP to investigate language. James said, call for ICANN to engage in outreach efforts, coordinating with ALAC and other appropriate bodies. So, Mikey, let me go to you first. Were you actually recommending a PDP, or you want an issues report?
This is Mikey. I think I'm going to back that one out. I don't know what I was thinking, but this certainly doesn't warrant a PDP. Oh, strike that one. Sorry about that.
Okay. So maybe it's then a question of we are suggesting better education, but what does that actually mean? Are we suggesting for an advisory? That's my question. Any thoughts on that?
This is Mikey. I'm having one of these, gee, that was a long time ago moments. I can't even remember if I was on the subgroup that was working on this, but I agree that I think maybe your starting statement's right, Greg. I feel like these recommendations need to get reworked. Maybe turned into one. I'm sort of running down. Can others help me remember how we got to these recommendations?
This is Marika. I remember. I think it's George Kirikos who volunteered for this effort and put a lot of information on the wiki and also put a lot of recommendations there, I think with the intention of having the group discuss those in further detail and determine which ones would be appropriate and which not. And I think some of those came actually from, like you see this one, from some of the ASEC recommendations or some other documents that refer to this issue. So I think this is where the long list comes from, but I don't think the group ever went through the exercise of looking at the different recommendations and maybe already taking some out that, you know, the group felt weren't appropriate or rewording those or bringing, you know, different ones together into one. So I think this is the first time that we're actually looking at those, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
That sounds right. And George isn't with our group anymore. I mean, going through the poll, it struck me there were a lot of recommendations, and to me, a lot of the historical conversation boiled down to the fact that we know it's happened in at least one case, but that's the only one that's ever been documented. And we don't know the extent to which it continues to happen. For me personally, it becomes kind of a scale question. I mean, it's considered an abuse, but I don't know if anybody's doing it. And I'm kind of reticent not to make a bunch of big recommendations about something that kind of seems to be below the radar. How does everyone else feel?
This is Mikey. I've got my hand up by accident. I don't know why it's there. I'll take it down in a second, but let me take advantage of that. I think that this might be one that we would want to consider dropping the whole section. Given the other issues that we're going to be recommending on, at the most, I think what I'd be interested in seeing is not necessarily an issues report, but some sort of maybe referral back to ESSAC or some investigatory gang to see if this is even going on before we go too much further. But this isn't one that I have a lot of strong feelings about in terms of recommendation.
Thank you. James?
Hi, thanks, Greg. James speaking. And I just want to disagree with Mikey a little bit in that I think that we did discuss this, and even if our conclusion is that it is, you know, a mythical being, that we should state that. I think that by omitting it entirely, and I think you're meaning the entire front-running section, correct? If I misunderstood, I apologize. But
you're right, James. We should talk to it.
Yeah.
Maybe, if nothing else, mention the mythicality possibility. And again,
and just get it into the record that, you know, we did put this on the agenda and it was discussed. Otherwise, you know, the perception becomes the reality. And if a sizable portion of the community thinks that, well, of course this is happening, and there's nothing out there to challenge that assumption, then I think that just becomes the default understanding. And I read this recommendation, Greg, and I understand it was applying to the front running section of the Registration Abuse Policies Working Group, but I also read it with the eye to the Transfer Working Group, the PEDNR Working Group, and all of the other different initiatives that are underway right now that really are less about failures of policy and more about just some registrant education, community education, because this is a complex process. And a lot of folks, you know, they'll see that, something happened that they weren't expecting based on their understanding of the registration process, and therefore they see that as a policy problem. And that is not always the case. So That's kind of the hat that I had on when I read this recommendation and made that edit.
Okay. Any other comments?
Mikey, I'd back James on that.
Okay.
That's the right approach.
Okay. Sounds like what it needs is we did talk about it. We investigated it. Maybe it comes down to a summary statement or maybe a recommendation even that, you know, it's a documented issue. We would consider it an abuse. Maybe it's something to keep an eye on. There are some doubts about the scale and therefore the need to make policy about it at this time. Something to that effect.
This is Mikey. Is there could we amp that up a little bit and suggest that some appropriate organization, ESSAC or some other group, actually try and determine scale?
The ICANN staff compliance staff had commissioned a report that was the Ben Adelman study, which didn't find any. Now, the methodology has been a question, and I think the staff has gone back and they're looking at the methodology, maybe with an eye towards some further research. So I know that thing's going to continue.
Maybe we can support that.
Okay.
Encourage that next turn of the crank, and that when that study's next iteration is done, the GNSO might want to take this issue up again. I'm with James. I don't think we want to totally lose this issue or lose people's attention on it, but it seems like we are mighty short of facts right now.
Or just lack of any evidence that it's happening or become an issue worthy of further attention. Okay, let's go offline this week. Let's see if we can draft something, some language around those points we just mentioned. We're about 25 after. I want to try to squeeze in one more. The next recommendation is on gripe sites and deceptive and or offensive domain names. And the recommendation was that the UDRP should be revised or examined to address gripe names and to provide for fast-track substantive and procedural mechanisms in the event of the registration of deceptive domain names that mislead adults or children to objectionable sites. There were three in favor, and then there were some friendly amendments. Mikey said back off a bit. Rod said if there's substantial interest in the community. And he said, I believe this is not likely to be seen as uncovered by the UDRP already. Alternate view was UDRP has already addresses this issue for many years, and making a carve-out for a specific class of names is problematic. James said, don't agree. It's an unbalanced infringement of free speech. And it's a violation of, doing that kind of activity is a violation of most registrar and web host terms of services and some laws. So, a split on this one. I think Faisal, were you the author of the recommendation?
Yes, I was. Hello?
Yeah. Okay. So, again, our question before us is there a place where we can coalesce around a greater level of consensus? You're recommending a PDP to carve out a special or a different treatment of these names specifically. Any ideas for a statement that could reach a higher level of consensus. Floor is open.
Well, you know, Craig, just a recommendation. One, you're talking about revisiting the UDFP, and I think we've pretty much been advocating that throughout, right? So this might fall within what we originally discussed in the cyber squatting section as well.
In the cyber squatting section of the paper, we did not list gripe sites or offensive sites as an area where the UDRP had received criticism. So if you want to fold it into this seems like a separate recommendation coming out of a separate conversation. I mean, I personally wouldn't consider this recommendation to be part of our UDRP-related recommendation that we discussed at the top of the call.
Right. I'm not saying it's related in terms of substance. I'm saying we are, in terms of advocating a UDFP, that the UDFP be revisited. I mean, this is we're looking for substantive changes. Now we're looking for substantive policy changes within a certain area as well, which is, you know, on gripe sites. And those are things that actually came up in our discussion, with the group. So, I mean, that's why we put this as a separate recommendation. I guess my whole point is that we are looking at the UDRP as a mechanism to be revisited in order to make certain substantive changes, and this is another area we can do it in, which is the gripe names and also offensive sites.
Okay. Other thoughts?
This is Mikey. I thought that we had this discussion and agreed. I totally breezed through this too fast, but I'm going to move myself down into the disagree with this recommendation camp, because I thought that we concluded that gripe sites were freedom of speech. We had a big, long discussion about it, on at least three calls. So I just want to move my vote. I'm not in favor of this recommendation.
Okay. Barry?
I just add that I'm still going to stay with the agreement of the recommendation. Certainly the whole free speech discussion is warranted. I think what that issue is that there's inconsistency and discrepancy out there and how it's resolved in the UDRP land, and there needs to be some mechanism by which some sort of better consistency is developed out there, and I think that that's really the reason why it needs to be touched on. Whether it does, maybe the outcome of that is yes, all gripe sites do infringe on free speech, therefore any UDRP cases relative to gripe sites should never be granted in terms of getting a transferred domain. Some kind of specific outcome like that should be, should occur.
Okay. So where does everyone think this one should go next? What's our next step? We have support for specifically addressing this as part of a UDRP review, and then we have some folks who are not comfortable with that. So is there any middle ground?
This is Mikey. I could move into Barry's camp on that says pull it underneath the UDRP. The trouble with that is that, this is law. This isn't, this is different law in different places. And, it's a quagmire. We had this huge discussion. I wish Phil Corwin were on the call to repeat his comments, because
you know, there's different laws in different jurisdictions, and so yes.
Okay. All right. We are in about 11:32 Eastern. That's all of our scheduled time for today, unfortunately. Our next call will pick up where we left off. And basically in our next call, we need to get the rest of the way through the sheet. Because we have a meeting on February 1st, and then we have a meeting on February 8th, and we have to probably reserve that meeting on February 8th for basically last-minute tweaks. We have to get through our substantive discussions next week. We have an hour and a half scheduled for next week. It's possible we might require more time than that, though. Would people be willing to have a call that goes as long as is necessary to get through the sheet? I'm very happy to do so, and we're kind of have a our backs are up against the wall schedule-wise. The okay, so myself, Barry, Bob, Mikey. How about everyone else? How do you feel about wrapping things up next week?
Greg, this is Mark. I might be challenged, but I'm sure we can work that out with Margie if she can stay longer on the call than the current time. Margie, does that work for you?
Yeah, that's fine. I could manage the call if we need to go longer.
Okay. And if folks have to, if you have to, the staff has to jump off for other calls, then All we need is to have the bridge remain open, I guess.
Greg, this is Rod. I'm going to be in Japan next week. I think, given the time difference, I could, and that I'm a night owl, I'll probably be able to handle it. I'm not sure at the moment.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll make best speed. In the meantime, we have a few action items to create some additional or alternate language. We are very, very close. Sounds like we'll have slightly revised version of the document going up. I wanted to ask really quickly if anybody had any comments on the Who is Access section. It looks like actually the recommendations that came out of the Who is section got pretty good consensus on them. We'll look at that next week when we go through the sheet, but just wanted to mention it. It's out there for comment if anybody does have markup. And I think that's all the time we have for today, but we got through some good stuff today. Any final thoughts? Okay. If not, we are done for today. Thank you very much for your time and for filling out that poll. And we'll pick up where we left off next week. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good week, everybody. Take
care.
Bye, Greg.
Thank you, Benedetta.
You're welcome.
Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you. You too.
Bye.
Bye.